thousands of UK holidaymakers flock to Mexico each year. But deep in the mountains, in a lawless Indian territory, the forgotten people are fighting an unknown war.
Gunshot, maybe inside.
Extremely dangerous situation. We just heard three gunshots.
Fed up with years of conflict and government corruption, one group is attempting to break away and set up its own mini-state.
They want to live their lives according to their own traditions, their own customs, their own rule.
They want us to go.
This is a people's struggle to dictate their own fate and escape a cycle of violence. We arrived in Oaxaca, central Mexico. Every year, thousands of British and foreign tourists come here to experience Indian culture.
Oaxaca State is one of the places where indigenous culture is strongest in Mexico. There are 17 different indigenous groups still here today. This is an annual fiesta to celebrate that culture. But in the mountains here, the fight for that indigenous identity is still going on and it's very bloody.
We headed towards the indigenous region. We'd been told a group of Indians had tried to set up an independent community, separate from what they saw as a corrupt government. Their town was now under siege. No Mexican journalist would come with us. They said it was too dangerous. But one of the men from the area agreed to take us in.
We just received a call from our contact within the indigenous group that we're trying to meet. They seem quite suspicious of outsiders. They prefer to meet face-to-face in the next town in Palapan.
He's going to take us into his area where he says there's been open conflict.
I think this is our contact here now.
Gregorio Chavez is one of the activists in the independent movement.
Gregorio. Okay, me llamo Evan.
After a three-hour drive deep into the mountains, we entered the area dominated by his tribe, known as the Triqui. Gregorio told us we were passing San Juan Copala, the center of the autonomous movement. He said a militia, supported by the government, had responded with force and surrounded the town.
They are extremely well armed. They have killed about 10 people, he says at least, from the town, and injured many, many more.
Gregorio led us to a village nearby that was supporting the people of San Juan Copala. They seemed very wary of outsiders. No foreign journalists had been here before.
What is this? Yes. What is this?
Every man in the village had a gun. They told us attacks from the paramilitaries were increasing. Gregorio said just 2 days before, the government-backed militia had opened fire on San Juan Copala.
Nobody was killed or injured, but there is a missing woman who they believe has been kidnapped. So they think it's very, very serious right now. It's very dangerous.
The men were fearful of a further attack on San Juan Copala and mobilized a patrol.
The men in Yosayuxi have gathered. They've all got weapons and machetes and they're ready to take us up to the mountain ridge to try and assess what the security situation is.
San Juan Copala was a 3-mile trek through mountainous forest. It was a dangerous journey. We were told to move fast, as paramilitaries regularly ambushed people trying to enter the town. Gregorio said from here we had to stay quiet.
The guys are telling us when we can move forward or not. The scouts ahead will hopefully see if there's any militiamen.
Almost no outsiders have managed to get close to the town. Earlier this year, Mexican charities tried to take food into San Juan. Unidentified gunmen ambushed the group, killing 2 aid workers.
Guys,
So we now reach the hilltop. These guys have stopped over the ridge of Semang Kapala.
Since the town had declared independence from the state 8 months ago, it had been surrounded. The men said pro-government paramilitaries were trying to drive the residents out and crush the movement.
Guys are on the walkie-talkies. To their other positions.
Scouts were in radio contact with people in the town. They wanted to know what the situation was after the latest attack.
What information is there from the radio?
Los compañeros paramilitar Ubisor llegaron a atacar Copala no solamente.
Gregorio told us gunmen had shot into the town, killing livestock. It added to the pressure on 400 men, women, and children still inside the town.
So they're trying to cut them off from all food supplies to force them out.
Y hasta este momento no tenemos clase ni hay actividad doméstica porque.
He said children on the streets were being shot at, people were hiding in their homes, there was little food, no work, and the children couldn't go to school.
Why is this happening?
Tenemos que rescatar nuestra autonomía. Hablando de rescate de la cultura.
Gregorio said it was because the community had decided to separate themselves from the state.
They want to live their lives according to their own traditions, their own customs, their own rules, their own leadership. They do not want to be part of the politics of the state and the country.
This Indian rebel group, known as Multi, said their main grievance centers around corruption. They claim around $1 million of public money designated for the town has been stolen by the state government every year. Back in the village, we heard the violence was now spreading beyond San Juan Kapala. Recently, assassins posing as food sellers entered the village and murdered a husband and wife.
Hola, Timothy. Okay,
the dead couple's son, Timoteo, agreed to speak to us as long as we didn't show his face.
Timoteo just pointed out where he found his mother and father, both dead, shot and attacked with machetes. Do you know why they might have been killed?
Lo que sé nada más es por ser el líder, ¿no? Ellos piensan que él habla bien.
Timoteo told us his father was a key supporter of the autonomous movement.
There was a group of people, he says, who wanted to eradicate him because of that. That's why he was killed.
Es más difícil cuidarlos porque son bien juguetes.
He said he was now struggling to take care of his brother and sisters on his own.
They don't know what's going on. I don't really quite know what's going on. I'm 15 years old. And I don't really know how to be a parent.
Since the beginning of the siege, there have been 30 other targeted killings, but the Mexican authorities have brought no prosecutions.
Hola, buenas tardes.
Hundreds of people have fled the fighting. Many who've stayed are fearful. I wanted to find out if they all supported the rebellion.
As a mother, how do you feel living in this area with the tension and the conflict?
Zita told us they heard gunshots last night. She'd tried to calm her terrified children. She said she understood the value of fighting for autonomy.
But when I see my family in danger, when there's the violence involved, that's when I have my doubts and I wonder whether it's really worth it.
The Triqui are a poor underclass in Mexican society. Mostly farmers, they've lived in these mountains for centuries, and San Juan Kapala is the spiritual center of their culture. We'd heard there might be a way for us to get into the town. We first had to meet Jose Flores, one of the leaders of the movement.
He was forced out during the siege. He still has family inside, he says. But we're just doing introductions at the moment to try and gain his trust.
For the next hour, Jose and the men discussed how to get us in. In Indian culture, everything is done by consensus. The latest news was that the paramilitaries surrounding the town had sent more reinforcements. Jose felt it was too dangerous for us to go in.
They don't want to take the extra risk to take us in, and they don't think we should either.
We had hoped they would change their minds, but events were moving fast. That night, we stayed in the village. Gregorio woke us to say one of the paramilitary leaders surrounding San Juan Capala had just been assassinated. He told us the rebel leader Jose Flores, whom we'd just met, was demanding our car and driver.
Do you want to go and talk to us? Should we go and...
Outside, we found Jose desperate to leave. He feared a revenge attack. He claimed he wasn't responsible for the assassination, but he said the paramilitaries would blame him.
Him and two others want to go to Mexico City. And when do you want to go? Cuando? Now. Well, they're being very insistent that they want to use the vehicle to get these guys out. That puts us in a very difficult situation.
Jose made it clear we had no choice. He was determined to get past the paramilitaries before sunrise.
You get the sense that the autonomous movement here is really under a lot of pressure now from all sides, and this could get much more dangerous here.
Our car was returned 6 hours later. Next morning, panic gripped the village. Weapons were being handed out to the men. They took up positions, fearing an imminent attack by the pro-government paramilitaries who called themselves Ubisort.
They're saying that San Juan is under attack right now.
Entró pinche Ubisort acompañado de policía estatal y barrió todo este...
Gregorio told us the Ubisort militia had gone into San Juan Capala supported by state police.
They are firing weapons and they are trying to take the municipal hall to take over the autonomous zone. That would end the autonomy movement here. Okay, we should go. They're telling us we should go because the militia could come here at any moment. Okay. They want us to go.
They said if we were killed or wounded, the police would frame them for our murders. It was frustrating to know that just over the ridge, the siege was coming to a dramatic end, but it was too dangerous for us to see it.
Big patrol.
On the way out, we passed a convoy of heavily armed state police who were heading towards the area we just left. It seemed extraordinary. Just a few hours' drive from popular tourist destinations, a deadly conflict was being fought. I wanted to find out more about the government's role in the conflict. I met Father Francisco Ubi, who's worked with the Triqui for 40 years, and asked him about the paramilitaries.
Ubisort is surrounding San Juan Capala. Who is supporting Ubisort? Who's giving them the money, the weapons, the ammunition?
He said rather than police the area properly, the Mexican government is operating outside the law.
Everybody knows it is very obvious that the state government wants to crush the autonomy moves by the people of San Juan Capala, and that they are doing this by sending weapons and ammunition and money to Ubisort, to the militia now surrounding the town. Father, what's the cause of the violence in San Juan Capala?
Father Ubi revealed Ubisort were also Trikis who had been bought off by the state. This was a familiar divide and rule tactic used to control rebellious indigenous groups. He said that the government wants to keep control and is funding murder to do it.
They should be investigated for the murders that have occurred. There should be an investigation into the entire episode, into the way that the government has been supporting these militias, because without reconciliation, there can be no peace.
It was time to meet the leader of Ubisort, the armed group said to be besieging San Juan Capama. We headed into their stronghold, Huxilahuaca.
Driving around Huxilahuaca here, we're noticing a lot of police on the streets, which just shows the connection between the Ubisort militia and the state police.
These paramilitaries and their supporters were attending a wake for the paramilitary leader murdered the night before. It turned out he was the brother of the Ubisort leader, Rufino Juarez. After careful negotiations, Rufino agreed to meet us in the cemetery.
So this is Rufino, the head of Ubisort, the militia surrounding San Juan. He's going to take us to show his dead brother's body.
Rufino told us his brother was assassinated on the outskirts of San Juan Capala, while helping direct Ubisort operations.
Do you know who might have killed him and why?
Rufino accused the autonomous group of killing his brother. He said its leader, Jose Flores, the man who'd commandeered our car, was behind the attack.
Why does Ubisort oppose the autonomous region in San Juan Capala?
He told us his group opposed the autonomy movement because they were armed, violent, and they were breaking the law. To prove his point, he introduced us to some widows of his fighters.
Ramiro here has just given me a list of what he says is seven Ubisort people who have been killed in San Juan since 2006. Among them is Severino Ramirez, who was 42 years old and was the only son of this woman.
Esmeralda said her son had left behind five very small children.
She says, I'm too old to make any money, so how do I do that? And she's obviously heartbroken.
Walina said first her daughter Teresa was killed, then her husband, then her son. She says, I know the name of the man who killed my husband.
It just shows how close this battle is. They all know each other.
It became clear that all the victims in this conflict were tricky. The authorities should be protecting everybody, but instead it seemed they were aiding the paramilitaries. Rufino wouldn't let us film his armed fighters. He did agree to take us to his forward positions near the town, but only with police protection.
Just organised a police escort to go to the Ubisort area. Now, Rufino's saying this is just independent security, but clearly he's got a close relationship with these guys that we did not see from the autonomous region area.
Led by armed police, we headed towards San Juan Capala, which was 20 miles away. Rufino said armed supporters of the autonomous movement were sometimes present on this road.
They have shot at and killed his men before. We've got to pass through this area to get to the area now controlled by Ubisort, by his militia.
Mi hermano Anastasio Juarez era agente de San Juan Copala.
Rufino's just pointing out that this is San Juan Copala, and this is where my brother was killed.
One of Rufino's men, Antonio, took us as close as we could get to the town.
Is it safe here?
Yeah.
Down here, you can see the town. So small, it's hard to believe there's so much death and injury created over this one place.
Rufino told us his men now occupied the town hall, but the battle was still going on.
Which is the municipal hall? Behind the blue?
No.
So the pink one facing. Gunshot maybe inside.
Gunfire rang out from inside the town.
So it sounded like two gunshots inside San Juan Copala. They tell us that there is shooting there every day. The people inside, they said there's another shot. Extremely dangerous situation. We just heard three gunshots. Vamos.
Rufino was worried about our safety. They wanted us to leave.
What's remarkable today in Mexico, there's a town down there basically in civil war. There's no police down there, there's no army, nobody's intervened. It seems like these Indians, these groups of tricky Indians, are being allowed to just fight it out among themselves.
We drove to the state capital, Oaxaca, to speak to the government.
Hola. Buenos Aires.
Rosario Rueda is the state minister for human rights. She's responsible for dealing with the conflict in San Juan Copala.
Why doesn't the state government impose security on San Juan Copala? We saw armed police all over the place, but nobody went in. People are being killed.
El ingreso del ejército o de la policía.
The minister said she thought if the police go in, it could provoke more violence. Those fighting for autonomy had weapons, and the government was worried about police casualties.
People have said to us that the state government is backing UPASORT to oppose the autonomy region because you don't accept the autonomy region.
Ellos han mantenido en esta idea de su autonomía.
Rosario said UPASORT seemed closer to the government as they operated within the law and didn't want to separate from the state.
Por eso decía las comunidades en donde UPASORT.
She agreed the government is funding UPASORT.
We don't just fund the organisations like UPASORT, we fund, as the state government, specific projects. It may be that organisations like UPASORT are then using that money to buy weapons, but we don't know.
The minister admitted that money designated for indigenous groups could well be being lost to government corruption. This issue was something the state was trying to stop. Three days later, UPASORT were burying Rufino's assassinated brother, whose wake we'd seen earlier. His widow Celia was pessimistic about the future. The tricky live by a code of revenge.
Celia, what's the hardest thing now for you and the family?
Sí, siempre hay problemas, mata hasta mujeres, hasta abuelita.
Celia said she sees no end to the violence.
They're killing women, they're killing children, and they don't really see any way out of this.
The world concentrates on Mexico's war with the drug barons. But to many, hidden conflicts like the one in Oaxaca reveal another facet of a country spiraling out of control. A country where lives are being torn apart by corruption, repression, and violence.
No morirá para siempre.
If you want to know more about Mexico's indigenous people or any other issue covered by Unreported World, please go to www.channel4.com/unreportedworld.
Dale, Señor, el descanso eterno y luzca para él la eterna luz. Bien, creen ti, Señor. No morirá para siempre. El Señor que te ha llamado te reciba con el coro de los ángeles.